This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. This week we are continuing our monthly series on aging. Transportation is a common issue for seniors across the U.S. As we get older and lose the ability to drive a car or walk and bike longer distances, everyday tasks like going to the grocery store, getting to a doctor's office, or even visiting family and friends can become a challenge. On today's show, we'll talk about transportation and what resources are helping seniors in the Cooley region. Joining us are Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson, a psychology professor and researcher at Viterbo University, and Ram Melendez, General Manager of Homestead Senior Care in La Crosse. And Stephanie, you know, why is transportation a crucial issue for people as they age?
Great question, Hope. So currently there's about 8.4 million senior citizens who depend on others for their transportation needs. And soon the number of older drivers is going to more than double, which makes the issue of senior transportation even more critical. Now, by the year 2030, the projections say that there are going to be more than 4 to 5 times elderly people on the road than there are today. So that's a huge number, and that makes this really an important issue for us all to address.
And Ram, are we seeing more, you know, organizations, resources starting to pay attention to transportation?
Absolutely. You know, Homestead Senior Care has been keeping an eye on this for many, many years. But we have decided to bring it out to light just so that everyone knows that we're on the same page, especially with our seniors, because of the fact that when you take away a senior's driving ability, you're taking away their independence and their freedom. It's their last resort to being out there on the road. But it's a safety concern for them and for others as well.
Yeah, and Ram, you know, Homestead Senior Care has created a new program called Let's Talk About Driving. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that resource?
Well, Homestead created a website called letstalkaboutdriving.com, which is easily accessible through caregiverstress.com as well. And it's a program to help families start a conversation that Homestead created. It's an educational program to provide family with free tips and free resources, and including free interactive safe driving planners, videos to start the conversation as to how mom and dad could adjust to not driving and depend on others.
As a, you know, organization that provides in-home care, how often is transportation, you know, kind of the need in that situation?
You know, Hope, it's on a constant basis. We have clients that need some driving and some that don't. But I hear it so many times. Homestead Senior Care hears it so many times. I feel like a prisoner in my own home. And we have clients that they'd like to go to the grocery store. Menards is the number one store that they like to visit because there's so many things that they can see in there, and or even going to Riverside Park.
And Stephanie, let's talk about driving. Obviously, that's facilitating a conversation between seniors and their families about, you know, the safety of driving. I mean, how often does that conversation put strain on caregivers?
That is such a difficult conversation to have. I mean, it really is. And we like to think that as we get older, we're going to know the point in which we shouldn't be on the road anymore. But the truth is that, you know, the abilities, they decline over time. It's not like you wake up one day and everything's different, but it goes over time. And that makes it even more difficult for a person to recognize when they have reached that point that, you know, it isn't safe. So a lot of times it means, you know, their children, their adult children, bringing it up to them. And that can feel almost attacking. It can, you know, make a person feel defensive right away. So you really want to be careful in terms of how you bring up that conversation. And there's some things out there that can be useful. So, for example, there's a driving assessment checklist. And that's something where you can take a look if you're unsure about your loved one's ability to drive. You can find that at Caregivers Library. And it asks things like, has the individual lost some independence? Have they received any warnings from the police about their driving? Or have they had any close calls? Have they backed into anything? Or some of those less obvious signs that can be good indicators are things like, do they have the proper range of motion? Can they turn their head and look over their shoulder? How's their vision? Do bright lights, things like that, bother them? Can they see okay in the dark still? And that can help, you know, people decide if this is a conversation that they need to have with a parent or for the individual to think about themselves and their safety.
And Ram.
That's right, absolutely. In fact, there are many obstacles. Well, there are more medical conditions that could put the brakes on seniors driving, you know, especially Alzheimer's disease, manning the brake pedals and the gas pedal. I've seen it so many times on the road myself, where there's a lot of weaving on the road. And I think to myself, is this individual impaired due to drinking? And once I near up that vehicle, I notice that it's a senior and they're just weaving side to side. And also glaucoma and medication usage. Sometimes they take less, sometimes they take more medications, which could absolutely affect their driving skills. And, of course, there are mysterious dents. When you see mysterious dents on mom and dad's car, whether it be the front or the back bumper, then that is the time that you absolutely need to talk to mom and dad. Simply taking away the keys or disconnecting the battery, that's going to be a slap in the face to them. This conversation has to take place, and again, for their safety and the safety of others.
And Stephanie, I'm sure another way that, you know, transportation can often be a burden on adult caregivers, as Ram is talking about, or adult children caregivers, is when they become the transportation for their parents or the people they are caregiving for. I mean, you know, can that also put a burden on the caregivers?
Absolutely. And, you know, now we talk about the sandwich generation. So they're the folks who are caring for their aging parents, but they may have children of their own. They might be working full-time jobs. And so it's that struggle of you want everybody to be safe, but you also want to be there and be available to provide the service that your family member needs. And so it's not just broaching the topic, but then knowing what options are available. And as I've dug deeper into this topic, one of the things that surprised me is that there are options available. You know, it takes some digging to find what's available in your area, but there are options. So knowing what they are and what they can look like can be helpful. So, for instance, there's 3 main types of transportation. There's door-to-door transportation. So that's if the individual needs someone to pick them up at their door and to deliver them to a specific site. Then there's also fixed route. So that's something more along the lines of having a bus service available. So that can be difficult for those that have some issues with mobility in getting to that, you know, bus stop. But it's an option. And then another one is ride sharing. So now in communities, folks are starting to come together and to volunteer to provide some transportation options, or looking at, you know, some of these other ride sharing opportunities that are available through special services.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about transportation issues for seniors in the Cooley region. We're here with Rand Melendez, General Manager of Homestead Senior Care, an in-home care program, and Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson, a researcher at Viterbo University who studies aging issues. And, you know, Ram, you talked about, you know, that this really needs to be a conversation between a caregiver and an aging loved one and some of the, I guess, emotional impacts that it might have. And, you know, I can imagine losing the ability to drive or, you know, the ability to walk or bike longer distances, you know, can impact someone by not having those social interactions.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. And again, taking away their independence and their freedom, it's very key to them. And that's something that they don't want to lose. But our studies have showed that once they give up driving, it was like a burden has been lifted off of them.
Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, you know, how do you help someone who's going through that transition of having the independence of being able to make those journeys by themselves and going to kind of who depend on others?
It is so difficult, and it is especially difficult if you live in a rural area. So, for example, here's a little personal story for you. I'm from a small town of about 1,000 people, and my grandparents live there, and they live in their own home. And my grandpa, he worked until he was 86 years old. And even when he'd get done working for the family construction company, he would go home and he mows the lawn himself. He goes for a walk around town. He's just a really independent, hardworking guy. And so it was really tough in the last, you know, 4 years to see his health decline. And the family decided that, you know, we need to strategize to try and help, you know, Grandpa, and he needs to drive a little bit less. He'd had some run-ins and things weren't going so well. So they took his keys away, and everybody was trying the best that they could to still get my grandparents out to different functions and things like that. But it's tough. You know, people have busy lives. And a little time had gone by. One day, Grandma called, and Grandpa's 93 now, but Grandma called, and she was just frantic. Here, Grandpa had hot-wired his own car, and he took off, and she was all worried about where he might be. And so all the family rushes to town to look for Grandpa. Where is he at? And he is just a few blocks away at the local convenience store having a coffee and visiting. He just wanted to get down the street for his 10 a.m. coffee like he used to do with his buddies. And that was it.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, being in a rural community or, you know, even people who live out in the country, I mean, these, you know, they don't have access to public transportation like larger cities do. I mean, how does that impact their transportation situation?
It really makes an impact. So one of the classes that I teach is a leadership and advocacy class. And during the semester, I challenge my students to find something that they're passionate about and to advocate for it. But in doing that, they have to really understand the problem. So one of my students, and I wish she could be here today, but she's actually caring for her own aging parents and has had some difficulty as of recently. But she had this service that was available in her county, and they live in a rural area. And it was a bus in that small town that would bring you to appointments and bring you to the larger city. It'd bring you to Madison. And it was a really nice service, but it was grant funded. And that grant was about to expire. So she wanted to capture the experience of what kind of a service this provides. So she decided to ride the bus. And one day she got on the bus and she took notes of everybody that got on and off and where they were headed. And it was doctor appointments. It was going to meet friends. It was going to get groceries. It was all those things, going to have a driver's license renewed. And so she made all these notes and kept track of it and what it would mean to lose that service. And so now she's advocating for a continuation of that grant money, and I'm really hopeful that it comes through.
I mean, how often is that the reality for a lot of these programs for seniors, that they rely heavily on grant money or other that sort of funding that's in some ways temporary.
It's a huge reality, and that's why it's really important for people to advocate for others and to recognize, you know, what a huge part services like this play. You know, in the instance of, you know, my grandpa and just wanting to get out there and to visit with others, that social impact of being able to visit with others is so crucial, so important. And that's one small piece of the puzzle. That's not even considering the doctor appointments and the other important appointments people have to make. And so it's really important that people look at things like that that are temporary and that do need someone to advocate for them to continue.
And Ram, you know, you guys have recently launched your, you know, Let's Talk About Driving.com. I mean, is this, you know, a growing issue, or is this issue always been present for the aging community?
Well, hope, it's always been there. You know, it's just something that we all have to take a second look at just to make sure that we're all safe. And as I mentioned earlier, we have the caregiverstress.com website as well, which is also linked to letstalkaboutdriving.com. There's a wealth of information in there. There is educational videos as to how exactly approach mom and dad in regards to gently taking away the keys or coming up with other options in regards for them to drive if they still feel that they're able to drive. The vehicles nowadays, they have assistive equipment such as smart headlights, emergency response systems, blind spot warning systems, and assistive parking as well, and drowsy driver alerts. But there's always room for error from technology. So that's something that we all have to be on our toes with as well.
You know, Stephanie, do you feel like this issue has changed of transportation that, you know, maybe social technology, being able to Skype with family members instead of driving to visit them, you know, has that changed the equation a little bit?
It absolutely has. I think it does add in an element of another option to stay connected. My family uses Skype all the time. We're really big into technology. But it's also important to take the time and to have the patience to train folks on how to use that and how to make sure they can manage the technology and the use of computers without being manipulated, because computers are smart these days. They know what you search for, and there can be pop-ups that can be misleading about different services. So helping them to navigate what's helpful and what's not. And, you know, things like Skype is nice because it can, you can access it without going directly on the internet. You have to be connected, but you can go directly through Skype and to make a call and to see each other face to face. So that really does help.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there are more resources for seniors in the community for transportation, or, you know, are those things not as popular?
There are more options. So as I've been researching, you know, this and going through different challenges with my own family, as my parents get older and my grandparents are older, I've been looking. And so there's it's called Area Agencies on Aging. And so there are 670 nationwide different services available. So you can contact them. Our local, most local office in Wisconsin is Madison. So you can contact the Area Agencies on Aging in Madison. There's also Aging and Disability Resource Centers. And there are many county resource centers available that can help get you connected to different opportunities. And in other places, we all get the yellow pages. So a lot of telephone books have a special section with names and addresses of various service organizations. So it can help to look under transportation or community services. Another option is the National Transit Hotline. That's local transit providers that receive federal money to provide transportation to the elderly. And you can call that toll free. And an option a lot of people don't consider is taxi companies often will have a special rate for folks that are in this population. So don't be afraid to ask and see if there is a special rate available if there is a taxi service in the area.
That's Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Viterbo University, here with us today to talk about transportation challenges and resources for local seniors. Also joining our conversation is Ram Melendez, General Manager of Homestead Senior Care in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, you know, we've been talking a lot about driving as a form of transportation, but, you know, some people prefer to walk or bike for their transportation, which also can act as exercise, as a health aspect. You know, how can seniors kind of overcome that challenge when, you know, walking longer distances or biking becomes more difficult?
I think that it is a really nice option, and I think it's really important for people to be physically active as much as possible and for as long as possible, you know, really paying attention to their body and what they're able to do. So with this nice weather, it's great to get outside, especially, you know, when we're not in our winter months, to go out and enjoy that. In winter, it is a little bit more difficult. You do have to pay attention for slips and falls and for icy patches. But, you know, especially in the spring and summer and fall, to get out there, there's some great assistive technology using canes, you know, and I hope that people realize that there's no shame in using a cane to help you to get around. It can be really difficult with, you know, sidewalks or, you know, going up and down curbs and things to keep your balance no matter what age you are. And so if you need a cane, to use that. Another nice option these days is having the walkers that have a seat. So you can walk and you can use it, but it's got that built-in seat option. So if you do need to turn around and sit down, or maybe you're at a beautiful spot and you just want to enjoy it, enjoy that moment and be mindful of what's going on around you, that's a nice option too.
And Stephanie, you know, you mentioned the winter weather in Wisconsin, and I'm sure that can also be a challenge for people who rely on public transportation or other, you know, just senior bus systems, that sometimes those things get canceled. I mean, is that a challenge for seniors who rely on something that can often be canceled by harsh weather or maybe just not enough people riding on a bus service?
That is most certainly a reality for a lot of folks. So, you know, for those that are providing services, you know, hospitals, you know, medical centers, it's important to be mindful of that and to understand if people do have to cancel appointments and have to reschedule that. Oftentimes it's things that are out of their control. And that's difficult, and it does have, you know, a ripple effect. It has implications for everybody. And that's why this really is a topic that is important to everybody, to help have more reliable transportation options for folks to be able to get where they need to go.
And so what do you think would really help this population in the La Crosse area to help solve some of these transportation issues?
So for folks in this area, I think really having the three options available. So having options that are door to door for people that struggle, especially, you know, with their mobility, to be able to have some that can come right to their home and bring them where they need to go. I think also that the ride sharing is a great option. You know, being able to collaborate with neighbors, with friends, you know, with the community to get where they need to go, but also having the public transportation to have the busing options and, you know, reliable pickup areas and drop-off areas that are to those more common spots, the hospitals, the grocery stores, and more importantly, what we're doing today is talking about it. This is something that a lot of families and a lot of individuals struggle with, and and they don't necessarily know who they can go to or talk to about it. So having the conversation, I think this is really going to be helpful for a lot of folks to know what their options are.
And Ram, I would pose the same question to you. You know, what do you really think would help people who, and part of the aging population in our area, solve the issue of transportation?
Well, Hope, Homestead Senior Care absolutely believes that the conversation that should be taking place with mom and dad is starting from the age of 70 years on up. It's a conversation that has to be approached very gently because we don't want to offend mom and dad. But if the whole family sits down together and discusses it, I believe that it'll be a great outcome in the end. I really do.
Ram Melendez, General Manager of Homestead Senior Care in La Crosse, is here with us today to talk about transportation issues for seniors in the sixth installment of our monthly series on aging. Also joining us today is Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Viterbo University. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Stephanie about her research on the future of aging. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the resources and programs we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're continuing our monthly series on aging in Wisconsin and neighboring states. As more of our population reaches the age of 65 and older, more research into the newest generation of seniors is needed to adapt programs and resources. Joining us to talk about her personal research on seniors and caregivers is Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson, an assistant professor of psychology at Viterbo University. You know, what made you interested in, you know, doing research and in studying seniors and the aging population?
So first off, thank you for having me here. This is a topic that I'm so passionate about. You know, years ago when I made the decision to become a psychologist, I really had the one and only intention of helping others. That's what's first and foremost on my mind, and what has really helped guide me in my research pursuits and my teaching pursuits is trying to see what are everyday challenges that impact people. You know, what's important to them? How can I help make someone else's life just a little bit better? And the small things, I believe, can make a big difference. So, you know, anything I do is really geared toward helping others. One of the challenges that I noticed in my family was with my mom. I admire my mother a ton. She is my person. I just love her. And she is the most selfless, caring person I know. She'll do anything for anybody else. And that especially comes into play with my aging relatives. So my grandparents on both sides of the family, she'll take care of them, and their siblings, anybody that needs help and support in our family, my mom is always the go-to person. Everybody knows they can rely on her. And she loves doing it. You know, she loves being able to be that support and get everybody where they need to go and advise them on medical and financial and everything. And she'll stay up late, she'll get up early, she'll do it anytime. But it does take its toll. It is stressful, you know, especially with some of the other relatives. And, you know, it's tough for their own adult children that are struggling to see their parents aging. And then she's not only caring for, you know, her aunts and uncles, but being mindful of the cousins and what their wishes are. And there's just so many different family dynamics that come into play. So that's why I got started in this, is I wanted to find a way. I realized that, you know, my mom's not the only one. There's lots of great people out there that are caring for others. And how can we support our caregivers?
Yeah, and how often are you finding that, you know, the future of aging really looks like providing support to caregivers and providing resources to the people who are often, you know, stepping into a caregiver role?
You know, it's amazing. And I tell my students this. I'll say, you know, find something that you're passionate about and then see what we already know about the topic. You know, go into research. Research is the best place to find information that's of high quality. And so I did my own review of the research and the literature that's out there, and I found that there is a direct connection to the health of the caregiver to the health of the one receiving care, and that in those instances where the caregivers, you know, can remain high with their satisfaction, that those receiving the care have better health outcomes as well. So it's really important to look into this topic, and not just that, but to make the information user-friendly for the everyday person out there so that they can make the right changes in their life to help each other out and to be great caregivers.
Do you feel like, you know, we're coming into a new generation of people 65 and older, you know, the baby boomers, they're not always, you know, as they age, they don't look the same as their parents, you know. They're staying active into longer into their, you know, years, and they're, you know, retiring later. And even after they retire, they're staying much more active. I mean, has that changed a lot of the, you know, the research or the studying that goes into aging?
It absolutely has. These generational differences, and they're amazing folks. I mean, my grandparents have such a busy social calendar. It's hard to keep up with them most of the time. At the same time, you know, we do have to have these tough conversations, and I have found that it's easier to have them when things are good than once, you know, different diagnoses or if a fall or something else happens. So I always encourage people to have the conversation about the future and what wishes and things are as early as possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about how seeing your own mother step into the role of caregiver and also experiences with your grandparents has really, you know, prompted you to be passionate about this issue. Do you feel like that's the case a lot of times, that people who are, you know, the most passionate, the most active when it comes to looking at the aging population have had personal experiences?
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way to approach it, is to find your passion and to go off of, you know, what your experience is and to help to dig deeper into that to help other people. Because at the end of the day, you know, what is psychology research if it's not something we can use? If it's not something that's going to be helpful for people, you know, that's really the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the specific issues? I know you talked in the earlier half of the show, you talked about, you know, a transportation project that one of your students has been working on, you know, riding the bus with seniors and learning about their needs. But, you know, what other specific issues have you been looking at?
So most recently, I have been looking at the compassion fatigue and the compassion satisfaction of caregivers. So, you know, caregivers, this work's really put me in touch with people that have had a variety of different experiences. So people that are new caregivers, people who have been caring for someone for years, you know, people that live further away and are trying to care for a family member, a loved one, and those in the sandwich generation that have their own kids and then they're caring for parents and working full-time too. So I wanted to dig deeper into that and to really understand, what is the fatigue? Is there fatigue? And are there areas of satisfaction? So I designed a research study to look at that, and I used an instrument. It's called the ProQol. It's the professional quality of life instrument. And the reason why I chose that is not just because it's been shown to be valid scientifically, but also because it's available for free online for anyone to use. And I really like that about it. So people can go on and they can look at that instrument and they can take the survey themselves and they can monitor their own compassion satisfaction and their fatigue. So it's useful for my research, but also just useful for the everyday person to do a self-checkup periodically and to see how they're doing. Now, with this study, I looked at three different types of caregivers. So I looked at those who are employed in the role. You know, maybe they work at a nursing home or an assisted living facility. And I found that they had the highest level of satisfaction. So with that, what I really want to know is, are there aspects of it that can translate to family caregivers? And it brought up a conversation about, you know, things like 8-hour shifts. You know, can family members work in shifts? And so if they're not quite at the point where they're ready to have their family member or have someone live somewhere where they can get that type of care, while they're doing this themselves, can they set up shifts? And then, you know, it looks at delegating responsibility. And, you know, who else can help out? So, you know, having a person not just take everything on themselves. Now, the other group that I looked at is a spouse caring for an aging spouse. And I found that they have a significant level of secondary traumatic stress. So that stress of seeing their loved one struggle is real. And we have to pay attention to things like that. And it's important for people not to know that, you know, they're not alone. And in, you know, marriage vows, we often say for better, for worse. And that can be the for worse. But to know that if it is a struggle and you are stressed, that, you know, there are alternatives for help. And it's okay to make some time for yourself, too. Now, the third group we really looked at was adult children caring for an aging parent. And they are the folks that had the highest level of burnout. So a significant level of burnout. And my hope is that with this finding, people realize that they're not alone. You know, sometimes we can feel guilty for feeling burnt out over caring for, you know, a family member or someone else. But it is tough work. It is important and it is tough. You know, it was pretty amazing. I've been working on this research for this particular study for over a year. And this past fall, once I had the findings and I was writing them up and digging deeper into them, I found myself in the caregiver role. My mom was diagnosed with leukemia. So for the first time, now my mom, who's the family go-to lady, was going to need help herself. And that really, really made me think about this on another level and to empathize with others about how challenging this can be.
Looking at the different kinds of caregivers, that it's not just only adult children, but can be a spouse or someone else. I mean, does that make it challenging to provide resources for caregivers?
It can, and I think it's important to look at the specific needs of the caregiver. You know, and even with that, I mean, it's easy to put people into buckets, you know, of, okay, here's a group, but really looking at the individual and for the individual caregiver to think about their specific circumstances and what that looks like. So for me, that role transition was incredible for me to stop and consider, you know, to change from, you know, having my mom be the one that provided care to then being the caregiver myself. That's tough. And there is some really great research on that. So it became this moment of, okay, practice what I preach. Now let's look at literature and see how can I remind myself of what I can do to make this easier for myself and in return for my mom and the rest of my family. So paying attention to that transition, what it means. I would be, coming home, and if I had a tough day and wanted to vent about it, my first thought was, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't burden her with, what petty challenge I had in my day. But then I paid attention to that, and I'm sure glad that I did, because I realized that, no, my mom, no matter what's going on, she wants me to be real. And she wants to be treated like my mom, too. So sure means I'll go with to appointments and help out with some things as we go through this. But she's also my mom. And so she wants to be that person. And paying attention to the fluctuation that these transitions, they come and go. There are times when she'll need me more. And then there are times, again, where I'll need my mom more. And so looking at that for what it's worth.
Has stepping into the caregiver role yourself, has that made it harder for you to study these sorts of things? Or has it, renewed your passion?
It has ignited my fire even more. It really, I knew it was important, but I had been a spectator of sorts. And now I see how hard it can be for people, and I really want to help them. I really do. So I've spent even more time looking at not just my own research, but other research studies to see what are some simple takeaways. And it's things like managing emotions. How often do you go through your day and take time to stop and identify the feeling that you're having? Well, research tells us, especially in the role of being a caregiver, that identifying those feelings can be really important for the caregiver. And to recognize, are they sad? Are they feeling lonely or worried? Or are they feeling frustrated? Or did they have a really, powerful moment with the person they're caring for? Did they feel needed and that felt good? And were they able to really help and pass on that love to someone that has helped care for them? Taking time to connect with those emotions is really helpful.
That's Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson, an assistant professor of psychology at Viterbo University, here with us today to talk about her personal experiences and her research into an aging population in the Coulee region. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, aside from your research and the things that you're working on, are there others in our area that are looking at issues regarding aging?
Absolutely. So through this experience of doing the research, I have been blessed to connect with a lot of different people who are passionate about the topic, and in particular, the Aging and Disability Resource Center. They've been so helpful, and they're doing great work. They're sharing a newsletter on a regular basis, and there's a lot of different opportunities and ways for folks to get connected. That I hadn't been exposed to so much until I really started to focus on this area. So I think it's important to know what resources are available and to know that they are specifically in our county as well.
Do you think the greater community is starting to pay more attention to the aging population? As seniors become, more prevalent in our population, do you think that's also, causing the community to realize that these resources are really needed?
I think so. And, the baby boomers, they're not just going to go quietly. They're going to advocate for their own needs. I just have this sneaking suspicion that they're going to really help pave the way for the future, as they always have. They're going to help us to understand what those needs really are. Whether it be the small things, like having not just a curb, but a slanted area where people can access a sidewalk easily. That can make a huge difference for someone making a decision about what restaurant to go to, because sometimes a step or a curb can be really difficult for a person. So I'm really hopeful that we're starting to understand more of the needs, that people are being vocal about what they are, and that we can come together and make changes.
You know, and as you've been looking at other studies on issues regarding aging and caregiving, you know, have there been a lot of resources, or do you think that that prevalence of studies is growing? You know, what's your take on it?
It seems to be growing. So there have been a lot, especially in terms of health. But now we're also looking at well-being, and not just the physical, but also the mental and the emotional support. So research now is paying a special focus on social support, and not just for the aging individual, but also for their caregiver. And so with the ups and downs that come with being a caregiver, knowing that there are different outlets for that. So whether it be an online group or a face-to-face group, counseling services are really starting to focus on, you know, what mental health practitioners can do to help these folks as well.
And do you think that also goes with, you know, just the general sentiment that mental health is really important and equally as important as physical health? Do you think that that has also helped prompt some of these changes?
I do think so. And I'm glad that people are starting to take a shift and to really recognize that mental health is equally as important, and that they're really reciprocal. They play off of each other, physical and mental health. And so we do need to focus on that as well.
How often do you think issues related to aging and issues related to caregiving touch on mental health and are, you know, impacted by someone's mental health?
It most certainly is. And that's another one of the reasons why I decided to focus on this area and to spread awareness. So in the past year, I have been to 3 different national conferences to also speak to my colleagues about the challenges of aging and mental health, and to hopefully encourage others to do work on this topic as well.
Do you think that, you know, as we see more seniors in our population, that the mental health field will also have to respond to serve this growing population?
Yes, definitely. In counseling specifically, there's a call for folks to receive additional training for counseling the elderly and looking at what are the unique challenges of this population and encouraging counselors to go out and to receive additional training so that they can really be supportive and be helpful.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with Dr. Stephanie Thorson Olson about her research on aging populations and their caregivers at Viterbo University. So Stephanie, you know, what's next for you? You know, what, as you continue this research into caregiving, you know, what's next that you want to really focus your energy on?
One of the areas that I am especially interested in is increasing the satisfaction. So caregiving is tough. It is tough work, but looking at what good can come out of it. So what are some of the more positive experiences? What are those times that people can cherish down the road? And I found in other research literature that, you know, having positivity and having humor throughout the process can be really important. You know, so in my own family, when one of my family members was having a knee replacement and pretty nervous about it, you know, we took a little different approach and we said she was having her right front tire changed. She's going to have a new right front tire instead of a knee replacement. And so we laughed and we had a good time about that. Or, you know, as one of my family members, my mom looks toward possibly having a bone marrow transplant. You know, if one of us is the match, you know, what does that mean? Well, If it's me, then we joke about she'll have a dose of, you know, seriousness because I'm a little bit serious at times and she's pretty laid back. And so trying to find the good in it, yeah, finding the positive. And I'm really interested in my future research taking me to that place. And looking at, you know, possibly a qualitative study where I can interview folks that have had a more positive experience and what helped them. So we can pass that along and help others to try and find the good through a tough situation.
We've been talking with Dr. Stephanie Thorsen Olsen, a psychology researcher at Viterbo University, about her work on caregiving and seniors in the Cooley region. Today's show is the sixth in our monthly installment on issues related to aging. Every month, we hope to explore a new topic related to the growing population of people 65 and older in our area. In July, during the next show in our series, we'll talk about another issue affecting seniors in local communities. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. Matt Clark is our student producer. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the resources and programs we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.